This morning we're going to be looking at Galatians 2, verses 6 through 8, and some other verses as we go through this. But before we read, let's pray and ask God's presence for us this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this time this morning. We thank you that you granted us this great opportunity to come and worship in your house this morning. You've gathered us here this morning. We thank you, Father, that your word is real and truth, nothing but the truth. And it was lived out by your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I've been studying the scriptures and I've read several different scriptures, and this theme of being transformed just kept coming back to me, and soon discovered there's more than one verse or verses that allude to being transformed and not conformed to the world. Now, when I first thought about this, the first thing I thought about was a character from the Transformers named Bumblebee. Bumblebee should come up here. There he is. Now, Bumblebee is actually the figure on the right. He's the tall feller. And when he wanted to, he could transform into that really nice-looking yellow Camaro. And so the first thing I thought was transformation. Now, understand, in this particular transformation, it was done by just the mere wanting to, the need to. If he wanted to transform to the Camaro, he could, and then he could transform back. The second thing I thought about was a mean old guy, the Incredible Hulk. Now, the Incredible Hulk was just a regular old guy. But when he got aggravated or someone made him mad and it was beyond his control, the first thing you saw was his eyes kind of started changing colors. That was a sign to anyone they'd need to leave the room. Because then he burst into this huge, huge figure that really could not control his emotions and his anger and took it out on whoever was there. And usually it was someone that he was after anyway. The third thing that I thought about, and I'm not going to put a picture of myself up there, you see me right now, is myself. I think there's two transformation periods in my life. From when I was born until I was about in the fourth or fifth grade, I was the transformee. My mother was the transformer. I never learned because I was constantly being pinched or doing something. Now, understand, I brought this on myself. But I was always constantly being transformed by my mother. It was a daily thing. I think I set the example for my sisters and my brother because I never saw them get in trouble like I did. So I sacrificed for them. I took all the wrath upon myself. And so it was a tough transition for me. I was not totally disobedient. I just did little things that irritated my mother. And my mother was a strict disciplinarian. And if she said no, she didn't go away from that no. I mean, it was firm. So I have, for many years, had calluses behind my arms from all the pinching she did. And if we were in church and she pinched us and we yelled out, then we'd be transformed again later in the day at home. If she disciplined us, she did not want us to cry out in church. If she did and brought embarrassment on her, then we were in more trouble when we got home. The second part of that was my dad. My dad was an instructor or a teacher, not by words, but by actions. Probably when I was 11 years old, Daddy started allowing me, or he started teaching me how to be a cowboy. I started riding with him. I started working cattle with him. I can still remember the first time that he allowed me to go with him and the rest of the cowboys to round up cattle and to work those cattle in pens. And he expected a whole lot out of me, even though I was learning. But over the course of the next 10 years, until Sandy and I got married, I think I worked cattle a few times after we got married. But Daddy transformed me from a kid, and he started teaching me how to work cattle. But through that process, he was also teaching me to respect animals. He taught me responsibility. And he taught me a whole lot of life's lessons that I still cling to today. Now, both of these instances, well, three instances, Bumblebee, the Hulk, and then myself, these were all changes. They could change, and you would have an outward change as a result of neither just being changed because you wanted to change, or by anger, or in my case, my parents. My mother was a disciplinarian. My dad was a teacher. And he transformed me. Both of them transformed me in some way. That discipline my mother gave me, I understand now. I didn't necessarily understand it at the time. But I understand it now. And of course, the lessons that Daddy taught me are invaluable, even to this day. There's things that I do today and I think about my dad. But we're talking about a different type of transformation here. It's still an outward transformation, but it's a transformation that is initiated not by man or by self or by anger or some emotion, but it is a transformation that is speared by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 6 through 8. So then, just as you receive Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on human tradition, the basic principles of the world, rather than on Christ. Verse 6. We receive Christ. Paul is saying that just as you receive Christ, we receive Christ, or those who have received Christ received it by faith. No other way. You receive Jesus Christ by faith. And because of that, because of receiving Him in faith, and having maybe at that beginning some basic understanding who Jesus was, because you did receive Him, but you still don't know all about Jesus, you begin to understand pretty quickly that we should continue to always live in Him. Okay? When I first became a Christian, I was fortunate that I was mentored a little bit. I was given the opportunity to learn. The first scripture I ever learned was Matthew 6:33. Great scripture to have. And so I immediately was introduced to scripture. And that was good. Now, when we receive Jesus Christ, the seeds of transformation are planted. Okay. Transformation is a process, not a sprint. In other words, it's not a marathon, it's a sprint. It is a marathon and not a sprint. My first transformation that I remember after I became a Christian, after I received Jesus Christ, was that my language changed instantly. What I mean was I could use foul language with the best of them. I think in some ways they could have used me to train sailors how to cuss because I was the best of them. But the first thing God did with me, and I can remember this so well, He took those words, He took those curse words away from me completely. To the point that I remember the man I was working for at the time, his father would always come into the store I worked. And after I became a Christian and my language changed, he said to me, he said, "Norval, when you first started working here and I was around you a lot, I had to make myself like you. But God, the first thing He did was took the thing that was most offensive to everybody away from, and that was my language. I didn't care who I was in front of when I talked. And it was, you know, pretty embarrassing for them. It wasn't for me. But that's the first thing God did for me. We as we gain the knowledge in Christ, we begin to transform. It's the process can be slow, fast. It depends on the Holy Spirit in your own walk with God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. We'll look at them very quickly. Chapter 12, verse 2 said, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We need to understand that when Jesus came into the world began a transformation. That transformation was for a 3-year period of his preaching, of his teaching, of his healing, of his parables, and then his death and his resurrection. Christ came in not to be influenced by the world, but to transform the world, to change the way people had a relationship with God. And that's what he did when he came into the world. Now, we have to understand, if we keep our eyes on Christ, if we keep our eyes on Christ and we're in that process of learning about and gaining knowledge, then we will gain strength and we will gain understanding of who Jesus is. Okay? The process. Now, you know, when I became a Christian, I still didn't understand that there was a world side and there was a Christ side. I just didn't understand that because I was so young as a Christian. But I can remember when I was first a Christian, got involved with the church, I still had a lot of pride. I still wanted to be recognized for what I did in the church. I still wanted that recognition, that pat on the back, good job, and all this. But as my walk with Christ continued through the years up until now, I understand more and more it's less about me and more about Jesus. I'm insignificant. I am at best, a tool that God can use. But it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. If I do something for Christ, or I honor Christ, it's not for me, it is for Christ. It's not for me. The recognition means nothing. What means something is to do it and do it in the name of Jesus. Chapter 7, back in Colossians 2, says, "Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as we were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." You know, after we receive Jesus Christ and we begin to read and we begin to have that biblical knowledge, we should become rooted, established, and we have the strength and the faith because it is the biblical truth. Okay? So how do you get established? I was fortunate enough to be in a church that I had an opportunity to learn from a young pastor. Had an opportunity to learn from seasoned Christians. We learn this. We gain the truth. We do this by going to Sunday school, Bible studies, by being in worship, one-on-one relationships, mentorships. Though it is Spirit-driven, you still have to respond to the Spirit and you still have a choice to make. I was so hungry and so new, anything that came along, I grasped to. I didn't know if it's right or wrong, because I just didn't know. But knowing God was exciting. Knowing God and who He was exciting. And so I learned, my process began early. I'm not saying I always went in the right direction biblically, because I had to be reined back in a lot of things that I did, because I didn't understand. Because I wanted to be teachable and I kept learning. But Paul says something else here at the very end. It says, overflowing with thankfulness. If you read the letters of Paul, Paul is always thanking and being thankful for the people that he has become and receive Jesus Christ. He constantly prays for the different churches that he has planted. He is thankfulness. He encourages us to be thankful. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. The early church was taught by Paul to receive Jesus Christ by faith and faith alone. But he's saying here, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Paul is not talking against tradition. What he wants to make sure that the people know is that they stay to the truth that he taught them. He encouraged them to not let it be Jesus plus work. In other words, there were some that were teaching Jesus is great, but you also need to understand that you need to follow the Jewish tradition of circumcision, dietary laws, Sabbath laws. In other words, it was Jesus plus. What Paul wants them to do is concentrate on the truth that he taught them and not to be deceived by those who are trying to add to the faith or to their idea who Jesus is. So he is encouraging us to live by the principles of who Jesus is and not the principles of the world. If you go back to Romans 12:2, we see this very clearly. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want you to see something here. It's not our will that causes us to change. It's God's will that causes us to be transformed. It's not according to us. It cannot be toward us. God's will is perfect. Though we think some of our stuff is perfect, it is definitely flawed. We've all had perfect plans that have fallen out and didn't work. God's plan, God's will for us is perfect. And so, when we're transformed, we should not be influenced by the world, which conforms us to the world, but we should be influenced by the truth of who Jesus Christ was and what He did for us. That should be the influence that we should have, God's will. If we go back to the examples I had at the beginning, there was always an outward change. Bumblebee could change back and forth. The Hulk, when he got mad, could change, or his normal man changed into Hulk. I was transformed as a kid by discipline and a work ethic of my dad. Being transformed, you're not losing anything. You're gaining everything. Because as you fill your mind with Christ, you will find that the way you listen to people, the things you want to listen to, the things you want to do are beginning to gradually change, that it's more to what Christ wants you to do and less of what the world wants you to do. The world is all around us. I can look at my seasoned friends in here. When we didn't have the internet, we weren't aware of a lot of the fashions. You know, in the years of 40 and 50 years ago, I'm starting to talk about myself here. You know, the tiny schools that were out in the country, they looked like country. If you go to the city schools, there was a totally different appearance in the students. I went from a large school near Houston in the middle of my junior year to a school that was located in a cotton patch. The difference between the appearance of the large school and the appearance of the small school was astonishing. So, today, everybody looks the same in a big or small school. So the influence of the outside world is so great to us because of what we have and all the cable, the internet, and all these things that we have available to us. Sometimes it causes us to be more conformed to the world. What we need to do is we need to embrace the transformation that God has available for us. We need to have the desire to take it a step further in that we want to know Christ better. As we know Christ better and He becomes in our heart, that changing of our outward appearance becomes evident. Transformation is not like a New Year's resolution. It's not something you can just start arbitrarily. It starts when you receive Jesus Christ, and then it's influenced and fueled by the Holy Spirit. You can't decide, well, I'm going to be transformed tomorrow or January 1st, or I'll be transformed on my birthday or anniversary. Transformation is caused by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, with you reading and studying, He began to change your heart, and your outward change is going to be evident to those around you. I look across this congregation right now, I see many friends who I've known for 30 years, or since the church, and then since then. And I see so many people who have been transformed by God. I see people that have changed because of their knowledge of God, their outward demeanor, their friendliness, how they respond to critical situations, how they respond to emergencies. As a church, I look across here and I see the beautiful women who are working with the ladies. I forget the name of the what is that ministry, Shirley, that y'all work in? The ladies, look at the women, their influence, and no one tied these ladies' hands to do this. They did it because of the transformation that's taking place in their heart to want to love women who don't know Jesus Christ. We don't have many Aggies, but look at the Bryan outreach they do. Every week they go into North Bryan, they go to a housing, and they play with these kids and they interact with these kids and they talk about Jesus with these kids. This is part of the transformation process. The knowledge that we've gained, and we have a desire to help people, to be with people. One of the things as I was preparing for this, and I told him I may do this, and I'm going to, is that, you know, when you come to Westminster, you're going to hear the truth. From this pulpit, from John, and from Wade and John, Ben, Jason, you're going to hear the truth. You're going to hear the truth, and you're going to hear it uncompromised. And I've heard that in a prayer so many times when the deacons come up and pray. Dan Miser has prayed that prayer countless times, where we present the word uncompromised. And we look across this congregation, every time there's been a tragedy or a challenge or someone sick, someone who's had surgery, something, this church has risen to the occasion. And that is part of the transformation. We come together to worship. We come together to learn. We come together and do these things. But then we go out into the world, and we're changing the world not only individually, but by groups. And I'm sure there's a lot of other groups that are doing great things that I'm not even aware of. it could be jail ministry. It could be all kind of different ministries that we're involved in. And so it's that is part of the transformation product. We have become transformed because we have more knowledge of God and we're more wanting to do the things that bring honor and glory to God and less to the world. I mean, it would be so much fun to come up here and give names of how I've seen God work in people's lives. But I think that would be almost patting that person on the back. And what I want to do is honor God. I want to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Jesus' teaching did not conform to the world, but he transformed the world. His very birth began the transformation of the world. This morning, in a few moments, we're going to be taking communion. Christ's life, death, and resurrection transformed the world. We take to us and we look at us collectively and individually. You're going to see a lot of different talents in here. You're going to see retired, you're going to see professors, you're going to see businessmen, you're going to see lawyers, you're going to be seeing bankers, you're going to be seeing doctors, you're going to be seeing engineers. But guess what? We didn't come here because of that. We came here because of the love of Jesus Christ. What draws us here is the transformation that God's put in your heart that we can all come together and worship together, even though we're from totally different backgrounds. I'm an old cowboy. I haven't been on a horse in a long time, but I lived in a horse for about 10 or 11 years. I don't know what side of the horse to get on anymore. But the point is, we come here not because of our backgrounds of who we are, but we come here because of the love of Jesus Christ. And in that love of Jesus Christ, it has transformed us. We're all being transformed on God's timetable. And I thank God for that, because if we try to put it into action, we'd mess it up. So we come to communion this morning. We need to understand that Jesus completed God's will. And we need to be transformed not by our will, but by the will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity this morning to worship you, to come before you, to adore you and love you. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit to be present as we look at what you have before us and for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.